Well, welcome to everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. Let's start with number 42. Hymn number 42. Before we sing this hymn, I want to just tell you a story about the hymn. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, that was a few years ago, there was an old man in the assembly in Ottawa where I lived as a boy. And he said that this story about the little gypsy boy happened in Ottawa, which isn't too far away from here, about 5 hours drive, right? 6 hours? I used to think when I was a kid singing this hymn, because I liked singing it, that it happened somewhere else in the world. I thought it must have happened in India or Asia or Europe or somewhere, but it happened in Ottawa. There was gypsy families that used to travel around, and this story happened then. So maybe if somebody could start this for us, please.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he.
Have this hymn at the beginning, but boys and girls, I want you to listen really good right for a minute, okay? So over there down the road and around the corner, first house, we had a little prayer meeting tonight, okay? And one after another of the brothers was praying for you kids. There was one brother who said, He quoted the verse that said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I was so pleased to hear that. And so I want to try to make it as simple as I can tonight for you kids. Okay? And if I'm too complicated, I'm sorry, but I want to make it simple so that all of us are sure of where we're going when we leave this world. I want to tell a couple of stories. The first one I want to tell is about a place I went yesterday morning. Usually I wear work boots and jeans and a work shirt, sweatshirt if it's cold. But yesterday morning, I was wearing a suit. And I was wearing dress, shoes, and a tie because I didn't go to work yesterday for about an hour during the day. Instead, I went to a funeral home. A funeral home is where someone that used to be alive is laying in a coffin or a casket. I guess a casket is what you say now. And they've gone. And you know, people that we know really well, we know generally where they are, where they've gone. So I went to the funeral home yesterday because an old lady who loved the Lord Jesus very much had died, had gone to be with the Lord. And you know, this lady was sick in here. She was starting to lose her memory and her ability to think. And she would kind of be good for a while, and then she'd kind of fade away. And I knew her from the Bible class that we have, and Ralph Pilkington helps me do that. And so he said to me a while ago, he said, "You know, when Eileen comes into consciousness again, and you've said something that she really likes, she gets a big smile on her face." You know, she had Alzheimer's really bad, and at the end, she only was kind of sharp for maybe a few seconds every time. We were there for half an hour. But 5 years I've known this lady. And at the beginning, you know, she wasn't quite so bad. And she was 93 years old when the Lord took her to heaven. And so you kids, you think, "Oh, well, yeah, she was an old lady." But old people die, right? And it is appointed unto men once to die. But you know, we sang this song tonight about a little boy. Little boys die too. Little girls. This old lady went to be with the Lord Jesus. And I went because her son is a nice Christian man, and he comes to the Bible meetings quite often and enters in happily to them. So I went to comfort him and encourage him because his mom had gone to heaven. You know, we only have one mom, right? We're sad when our mom passes away. And this man was crying. He's older than me. He's probably 65, we'll say. And he's crying. It's his mom. But for you kids, what if it was you? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked him to wash away all your dirty sins? To save your soul so that you can go to heaven? You know, that's why we have the gospel meeting like this. We have it for you. And if tonight you've never come to the Lord Jesus and accepted him as your Savior, then do it tonight. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior right now. You don't have to wait. Now I want to tell another story. Last year, We went to the conference in Belgium. Before we went to the conference, we went to Holland with the purpose of seeing a family that we had got to know who have been gathered and a real encouragement to us. So we went to their house, and we've got to know their kids over the years. And the second girl in their family, she had a boyfriend. Except there was a bit of a problem. The boyfriend was not a Christian. The boyfriend had hair like this, and it went all the way down here. He was a tough-looking young man. He had tattoos, and he was the type of guy that kind of, I was a little bit apprehensive about him. Not, I can say his parents were too. I know that. You know, I really didn't think much about it. Prayed for them a little bit. This year we were at the conference in Belgium, and there was a man who came up and said hi to me. And I said, oh, hi, and I met him. His name was Lau. I said, hi, Lau. He said, don't you remember me? I said, no. Have I ever met you before? He said, yeah, I met you last year in Holland. He said, but I'm a Christian now. And I said, yeah? He said, you remember? And he held his hands out like this. He said, you know, the Lord saved me. I'm a different person. The hair was gone. It was normal. He looked very nice. And, you know, it was such a treat. You know, a brother in our assembly, Brad Coble, said, Paul, what was the highlight of your trip? I just told you. That's the highlight of my trip. Here's a man that was headed to hell. And you can see it all over him. He's headed to glory now, to heaven. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus washed away his sins. He reached in his pocket a while ago. He pulled out a little paper that was his coupon to get into a nightclub that he used to like to go to before he was a Christian. You know what? He had no use for it. He put it back in like that was what he used to be. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the way that we're going. And I want to talk about three people who were going in different ways. But the purpose of my talking tonight is to talk to your heart and to ask you what way you're going. Are you going in the way of the Lord? Are you pleasing the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Has the Lord Jesus died for your sins? Or are you on a different way? You know, that man Lau that I met last year was on a different course than he is now. But I can tell you, he's a happy man now. He's a changed man. And he's totally different. He's a happy man because he knows where he's going when he leaves this world. You know that old lady I told you about who I went to see her son yesterday at the retirement home? She's with the Lord Jesus in heaven. I know she is because she loved the Lord. The Lord died for her because she asked him to be her Savior. And he is. He was. He is. Okay. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll start with verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The message is this tonight. Now is when you need to seek the Lord. You need to come to him now if you're not saved. Seek him now. And this is God. God is so kind, so wonderful. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, when I was a little boy, I had the privilege of coming to a lot of meetings like this. And I came here to meetings when I was little. Because my parents would bring me to meetings like this. And you know, it's a wonderful privilege that you kids have. And I hope every one of you will thank your dad and mom for bringing you to the conference. You know, it takes a lot of work for dads and moms. They got to prepare your clothes. They got to prepare all the stuff that you're going to eat on the trip, right? They got to buy the gas. Think of all the things that your dad and mom have to do to prepare for you to be able to come to a conference. But they want you to get saved too. And my dad and mom wanted me to get saved. And by the grace of God, I did. Call ye upon him while he is near. What better place to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior than here at the Bible conference? You know, I think a lot of kids get saved at Bible conferences. It's a perfect place to accept the Lord. And tonight, come just the way you are to the Lord. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know, there's a tremendous number of verses in Isaiah. It's a big book, but there's a lot of tremendous verses too. I was talking to Dale this morning about this Isaiah. You know, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, almost the whole book of Isaiah as we have it was found at that time. You know, people have laughed and scorned the word of God for hundreds of years. Here's a document that they didn't know about. Documents that they found. Right? Not so long ago. Maybe less than 100 years ago. I forget what year. But we have verses like in Isaiah that we just read. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Yeah, it's real. It's the word of God and it's for us. For you. And for me. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the way, and I want to talk about that tonight. We'll read first in Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now this chapter is a wonderful chapter. It's in Isaiah again. But this verse talks about all of us. And it talks about all of us going our own way. That's our nature. is to do our own thing. And you know what? A lot of us have come to the Lord Jesus, but it's because of the grace of God that we've come. Otherwise, we'd be just like all the other people we know, doing our own thing the way we want to do it, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. And so here we have this wonderful verse that all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, is there any exception? No. It says all. All we like sheep. You know, there was a comment made in the meeting today about sheep not being real smart. I'm a sheep. I'm part of the all. And you know, I can tell you that there was a time where I was going astray. I was going away from God. And I was far from Him in here. And if there's somebody here today and you don't have love for God in your heart, and this meeting is for you, you need to come to God just the way you are and to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, if we're honest, each one of us can say, yeah, that's true. That's true of me. I wanted to do my own way. I thought my way was the right way and the only way that would bring me blessing. But God's way is the right way. And God brings us blessing. And then it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, when I was probably 30 years ago, I worked with a man who was Jewish. And he had accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But in the process of learning the gospel, he had gone to some of his rabbis at the synagogue that he went to in Ottawa. And he said, can you explain to me Isaiah 53, please? I want to understand what this is talking about. And they were like, well, you know, we kind of skip over that. No, I want to know. What's Isaiah 53 about? Where it says, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, and this man, Howard, is a dear Christian brother before the Lord took him home. Howard realized that this was speaking about the Messiah that Israel crucified and rejected, and who bore the sins of each person who would put their faith and trust in him, including Howard. Howard accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Tonight, boys and girls, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to belong to the Lord Jesus, to have our sins forgiven. Well, I said I wanted to talk a little bit about ways. And, you know, there's some people who it refers to a particular person as having a way. And so I'll show you what I mean in Jude. Let's read a verse in Jude. So in Jude verse 11, before we read it, this chapter is talking a little bit about people that had rejected the Lord Jesus and weren't living the way that the Word of God would be happy with. And it says, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Balaam, because he has a way as well. But we're going to talk first about the way of Cain. So Cain was the first baby that was ever born in this world. He was born as a little baby, and his dad was Adam. His mom was Eve. Cain grew up, and Cain murdered his little brother. He killed him. he was upset at him. So upset that he killed him. Can you imagine killing your brother or your sister? But that's what he did. Do you think God was happy with what he did? Not for a minute. No way. He was very unhappy. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 4, we're just going to read what happened. So he killed his brother. And he was a grown man when he did. He wasn't a little boy. God talked to him about it. And you know, instead of saying he was sorry and coming to God for forgiveness, it says in verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden," and so on. That's the way of Cain. The way of Cain, you do something wrong, you sin, and you know it. God talks to you about it, and you run away. And you don't deal with it. You leave the presence of God. That's a solemn thing. You know, here's Adam and Eve. Can I say a religious family? We would call it maybe a Christian family. Cain grows up. He's an unbeliever. He's not saved. He kills his brother. Instead of repenting, he goes away from the presence of God. Young people, are you going away from the presence of God by the way that you're living? I hope there's nobody like that here today. Now, that verse in Jude spoke about Balaam. There's four things about Balaam. We read about the counsel of Balaam in Numbers 20, 31. Then we read a little bit more about the heir of Balaam. Then we read about the way of Balaam. And then we read about the doctrine of Balaam. There's a bit of a progression there. The counsel of Balaam was to corrupt the people of God. And the enemies of God's people listened to the counsel, and they did corrupt the people of God. And there was judgment because of it on the people of God. But there was also judgment on Balaam. Because in that same chapter 31 of Numbers, we learn that he was killed as the children of Israel were cleansing the land of all the unrighteous people who lived there and the evil people who lived in the land of Canaan. One of the people who died was this Balaam. Now we're going to read in 2 Peter about the way of Balaam. Chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll just start in the middle of a verse because it's a long sentence. But verse 15 says, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." You know, when I was a little boy, I used to think that this meant that the ass was stupid. It says a dumb ass or a dumb donkey. I used to think that the donkey was stupid. But that's not what it means. What it means is that the donkey could not talk. You know, remember the story of how Balaam disobeyed God and went up against the way of God, the will of God? It says here, the madness of the prophet. And tonight, I want to speak faithfully to somebody here tonight who is going the wrong way. You're mad. You're out of your mind if you're walking away from God. You young people that are here tonight, that have been raised in a Christian home, that have been given everything by God, you've been given every chance possible. Don't walk away from it. Don't. And it says here, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way. You know, the longer I live, I realize that this is right. This is the right way. You know, when I think of some of the guys I grew up with and how they've lived and the sorrow and difficulty and anguish they've had in misery. This is the right way. Let's remember that. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know what Balaam really wanted was the money. God communicated with Balaam. He was a prophet, but he wanted to get rich off it from the things of God. I hope there's nothing in our hearts like that. When we recognize that God has done so much for us, the material things of this world are nothing. But Balaam wanted money. So much so that he was willing to corrupt the people of God to get it. What a solemn thing. And if you're not up to date on that story, I encourage you to read it back in Numbers. It's quite a story. God's purpose was to bless his people. And this man wanted money so much that he was willing to corrupt the people of God. And he lost his life because of it. Now, in order to get sort of to the bottom of what he was teaching the idolaters to do, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to see how the doctrine of Balaam had slipped into the church of Pergamos. So Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, this perhaps is something that those of us who are a little bit older can understand a little better. But you know, this man was a wicked man. He told the Moabites to do this, to corrupt the people of God. It was a solemn thing. Resulted in judgment upon thousands in the land of Israel who followed along with these things. Now, the reason I'm reading this is for all of us, older ones. You know, we live in a world that's very materialistic. And we got to be careful that idols don't fill our hearts and minds. This is what the people of God were enticed to do, to worship idols. And who was really behind that? Was the devil, our enemy of our souls. You know, the devil would like us to worship any idol, no matter what it is, as long as we don't have the Lord, give the Lord the first place in our hearts. Okay, so then it says, and to commit fornication. You know, we live in a world where that's all around us, where this sin is very common and very sad and far-reaching, too, consequences. May we be preserved from this. But this man had this way, and this was the way of Balaam. So now we've seen the way of Cain, to run away from the presence of God. We've seen this man Balaam, his way was immorality and idolatry. But now let's talk about another man who was going the wrong way, but God touched his life. So let's turn and read a little bit about the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And I like this story. In Acts chapter 8, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, we'll stop here for a minute. But they used to say that all the early Christians, they used to call them the men of the way. And so Paul was looking for any man, any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. We'll stop there for a minute. So here we have this man, a very gifted man, a very intelligent man, a man that had been given tremendous ability and had tremendous things given to him naturally. He's on the way to get Christians, to persecute them. You know, he felt so bad after what he had done to these people. He never really got over it, I don't think. He was going the wrong way. And God had his eye on Paul, on Saul. And out of heaven, this voice came and this light. And it shone right on him. And tonight, what about you? Are you going the right way? Are you living for the Lord? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior yet? Well, Paul, or Saul, as his name was at this point, Saul, not only did he not love Jesus, but he hated the people who did. And so he wanted to persecute them. And so he got these letters from the priest, high priest, to bring all these people bound onto Jerusalem. I assume for trial. I'm not sure, but I expect. Okay, so then the Lord spoke to him. Why persecutest thou me? To me, this is really beautiful. You know, sometimes when we have situations in life where somebody's being mean to us or unkind to us, well, it's really the Lord Jesus that we belong to. We're His. So, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to take care of us. But I like this verse. It's an encouragement to me because the Lord Jesus really cares about me. What a privilege to be one of His. Well, Saul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" This was a very personal thing. A personal interaction between the Lord and Saul. And I want to tell you tonight that you need that if you haven't had it yet. You need to get saved yourself. You know, it wasn't good enough that my dad was a Christian or my mom. Thankfully, my dad was before he went to heaven, and my mom is too. And I hope that each one of us values the parents that the Lord has given to us, especially if they belong to Him. But what about you? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus? Is He your Savior? Okay, so let's go down a little bit in the verse. Verse 6, it says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And then in verse 9, it tells us that for 3 days he was in the city, and he didn't eat or drink, and he couldn't see. I don't know what happened in those 3 days. But I can tell you, when I've been in trouble, and it's gone on and on and on and on and on, the longer it goes on, the deeper the work goes in my soul. Because I know that it's Him. And you know what? Saul knew, that it was Jesus that had taken away his sight, and he was in earnest. He didn't eat for 3 days. He didn't drink for 3 days. I haven't been 3 days not eating and drinking for a long time. It's painful. But Saul was in earnest. Now let's read verse 10. To me, this is just the most beautiful story. You know, the Lord knows every detail of our life. He loves us. He wants our blessing. And you know, the Lord had this servant, Ananias, and he was going to use Ananias for the blessing of Saul. The Lord knew about it years before years before he had saved Ananias. And now Ananias is going to be useful for him. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer from my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So Ananias comes to Saul. To me, this is so touching. He says, Brother Saul. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we're part of the family of God. We have lots of brothers and lots of sisters. You know, Ananias had an interview with the Lord, and he was like, "Lord, I've heard about this Saul. This guy's a killer. And you want me to go and be with him? Huh? What?" Well, you know, sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that we think are hard. But you know what? He had a purpose. And the Lord knew all about savings, about the work that he had done in the soul. of this man Saul. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Ah, you know, all of us here that are believers have benefited from this apostle, this Saul, this apostle Paul, later on his name was. What a wonderful privilege that this man Ananias had to go and call him brother Saul. And that the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. So here we have our little expression again, the way. Saul's going the wrong way. The light from heaven shines upon him. The voice from God shines in his heart. And he changes his way. Did he change direction physically? No. He kept going. He went to Damascus. But he changed in here, in his heart. And that's really what's important for each one of us, is to change in here. And what a privilege we have to be at a gospel meeting like this and to have time in the presence of God to be able to change our way if we need to. I can't tell from the outside the way that you have purposed to go inside. But if it's not the right way, you have an opportunity right now to tell God that you're sorry and to change your way. That's what happened with this man Saul. For 3 days he couldn't see. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. Why? He was in earnest about in here. His soul, his heart. He knew that God had spoken to him, and he changed his way. Is there somebody here tonight that has the courage, with the help of God, to do that? To change the way that you're going for the blessing of God, for the glory of God and the blessing of his people. What a wonderful privilege. Well, I want to read in closing just a few verses. I want to tell a story about this first verse that I read, John 14. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And I trust that everyone loves the Lord Jesus, has accepted the Lord Jesus as their own Savior, and that you'll really enjoy this verse when it says, I and the way. The Lord Jesus is the way to the Father, the way to God, the way to blessing. Now, a little story. So there's some people I know that live near us. And I was talking to them a little bit about the gospel. And the way it goes with a lot of my customers is that they know that the really bad people in the world that have done lots and lots of stuff bad, like Hitler, you know, the Nazi leader, Stalin, the Russian leader that killed millions of people, they're okay with them being punished for their sins. They say, oh yeah, yeah, there needs to be recompense for what they did. Oh yeah, yeah. But then when it gets a little closer to home, and it's like somebody that's done maybe not quite as bad a thing that we pick out of the news here and there, they go, well, yeah, yeah, they deserve judgment. But then it's like a little closer to home. It's like, but what about your sins? then it's like, oh, well, no. You know, we don't want to talk about that. But when it's somebody who's done lots of sins, then it's okay for them to come into judgment, but not them. So I was talking about Michelle Payette with them. I was talking about the halfway houses that he goes to and how he's given the gospel to all these people over the years, and how if you come to his class 5 times, you get a Bible and all those kind of things. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's good if those kind of people hear that they're sinners and that they need to, you know, be forgiven, and so they don't get judgment. But what about them? I want to ask a question tonight. What about you? You know, because that's really the importance of the gospel, is that each individual has had an interview with God about their lives, about their sins, to make sure that the Lord Jesus is their Savior. You know, we can look at other people, but tonight it's you. That's what we want to talk about. Your need before God. What a privilege. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you have a privilege to come. Just like that little gypsy boy who've never heard it before. There's nobody here in this room that can say they've never heard it before. But you can come tonight if you haven't yet. Well, let's read a few more verses. We're going to read the verse back in Isaiah again. We're going to read the one that Robert turned to today. I might need some help, Robert. I think it was 56. Isaiah 56. Thank you. And I'm going to read down verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. You know, that's the world that we live in. Everybody has their own way. Everybody is going their own way, doing whatever they want to do to get away with as much as they can, to get as much of this world as they can, to get as much happiness as they can, whatever it is. But are you going your own way? And that's really the message tonight, is that there is a way, and that's the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross. He shed his blood so that we could be saved. That's the way. And if we're going a different way, then I'm here tonight to challenge you the way that you're on. Okay, now in the book of Proverbs, I've been reading this with the boys at night, and we've really been enjoying this. I've found a whole bunch of different verses, but there's a couple of verses that are repeated twice in the Psalms, in Proverbs. And let's just look at them. There's one in chapter 15. No, it's chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there's a lot of people that are headed in that way. The way of the world, the way of our enemy, that don't regard the way of God. And then in chapter 16:25, thanks, Ernie. 16 and 25 is the same verse. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'm sorry if you've heard this me say this before, but I kind of wonder if God doesn't put repeat verses so that if we miss the first one, we get the next one. You know what I mean? So it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, I put this out to each one of us. What is the way that we're on? You know, we may look good on the outside. No man maybe can detect any change with us or any difficulty. But the Lord knows, and so do we. Well, there's another verse in the 16th chapter that I want to encourage us all. In verse 9, it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. To me, that's an encouragement as a believer. You know, I can ask the Lord to help me in my life. I might think I know what I should do, but the Lord is the one that can direct me. You know, there's a verse in the third chapter that's really been an encouragement to me too as a believer. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then there was another verse that, let's see if I can find it. chapter 15, and it says in verse 24, it says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. So that's really the purpose of the gospel meeting, isn't it? To make sure that everyone knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so I would just ask you one last time that if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus yet, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that as I pray, you'll ask the Lord Jesus to be yours tonight. You know, the apostle or Saul had that interview with the Lord. I am Jesus. And tonight, that's what he's saying to you. I am Jesus. And you can come to him just as you are, to have your sins forgiven.